Well, good morning and Merry Christmas to all of you. So good to see all of you here on this Christmas Eve morning. A couple announcements I'll share with you as we begin. If you have your bulletins, just notice here, insert as well included. But on the back here, just a reminder that this evening we will be having our Christmas Eve candlelight service here at Moscow. That will be at 7 o'clock, and so I hope that you can come out for that. I know it's busy this evening for many of you, but if you get a chance and can come out for that service, we look forward to it. Me and Isaac will be sharing together in special music. We were supposed to share last year this same particular song, but circumstances didn't work out to where we could do it, but this year we're planning on it, and we look forward to sharing in that service, and hope that you can come and be a part of that. Also, just a reminder that the envelope offerings, envelopes are available. They're there in the kitchen. Some of you have asked what those are. That is a way for you to track your giving through next year. And at the end of the year, if you use the envelope system, they'll give you kind of a receipt of what you've given. That way you can report that on your taxes if you so desire. So just be sure when you grab a box of those envelopes just to make sure to put down what number box that you're taking, and of course your name. That way they know whose envelopes are connected to that person. Also, let's see, just another announcement about the children, a youth event, and this is coming up January 13th, so it's not that far away really. From 2 to 4, all the youth here at Moscow are warmly invited to go to a bowling event at Harrisonburg Valley Lanes. There's going to be a pizza party afterwards at Pizza Hut, so I hope the kids put that on their calendars, get Mom and Dad to put that on their calendar. We look forward to that and should have a good time there bowling. Bowling for Jesus is what we're going to be doing, so we're celebrate Christ even as we're having fun. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? Yes.
Ladies and children, after service today, if you would, before you go out, stop in the fellowship hall. There has been a donation of mugs with sesalants, whatever they're called, hens and chicks in them. And kids, there's a gift in the fellowship hall for you as well. So before you leave, please stop by the fellowship hall.
Okay, so there's
succulents.
Okay, and anybody can get those?
For the women and the children.
Okay, women and children. All right, just go in the fellowship hall. You'll see it there. And also the kids as well. There's some stuff in there for them. So we appreciate that. Anyone else? Any other announcements? I'm going to call now on our Advent readers, the Black family, to come forward and to share with us in their Advent reading and the candle lighting.
In the midst of the excitement and anticipation that comes with Christmas, especially for children eagerly awaiting the joy of unwrapping presents, it's essential to pause and reflect on the profound message that lies within the Christmas story. This story unfolds as a testament to God's selfless act of true love and devotion, a divine example that stands in contrast to the materialistic clamor which is all around us. At Christmas time, while the secular world often emphasizes the act of giving and receiving, the heart of the Advent season encourages us to shift our focus away from selfish needs and redirect our focus to the profound act of God's amazing love. God sending Jesus into the world wasn't merely a transaction, but an unparalleled act of selfless love for the world to receive, the free gift of salvation. So as families gather and children eagerly await the unwrapping of presents, may the sweet melody of Christmas love resonate throughout the church and the world, guiding us to embrace the spirit of generosity and love towards others. Beyond the tangible gifts of Christmas, let our devotion to God be defined by acts of kindness and selflessness, mirroring the love we receive within the Christmas story. And may this spirit of Christmas love permeate homes and communities, creating a truly joyous and meaningful season of celebration for all. the lighting of the Advent candle. On this Sunday of Advent, together with believers from around the world, we light the fourth candle of Advent, the candle of love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Let us pray. Jesus, it's so easy to forget the true meaning of Christmas, that you gave. You gave your life so that we can live, so that we could have abundant life. May we not get lost in the consumerism and greed that often accompanies this season. Give us a spirit of compassion and charity so that we may bless others this time of year and throughout the year, not just in December. We pray all this together in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Stand now, and we'll gather with our hymn 1, 2, 3. O come, Emmanuel. 1, 2, 3. We'll sing all four verses. Your bulletin, we'll have our call to worship. Just remain standing. You'll find that in the inside of your bulletin, coming from portions of 1 John chapter 4. It says, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's turn our hymnals, page 151. Good Christian men, rejoice. And let us rejoice. Page 151. Seated. Well, that hymn reminds us that Christ was born for a purpose, wasn't he? He was born to save us of our sins, and we are just grateful that God sent him, that precious gift to us, so that we might be saved from the grave, from death, is what the hymn says, and saved from destruction and saved unto life. And so we just praise the Lord for that. Well, it's my pleasure to call on Corbin Byerly, who's going to come forward now, and he's going to share with us a recital from the book of John, 1 John. And Corbin shared this with me last week as he was leaving out of the church. He recited, I think, about 18 verses at that point of John, the book of John. And last week, I was preaching out of the scripture on 1 John, there, book of John. And so he recited it. It was just amazing to hear him do that. And so we asked that he would come and recite that for us here this morning. It's quite an accomplishment, and it's no easy feat. As you get old, your mind doesn't work that well, I don't think. But he certainly has accomplished something great. So I want him to share with us now as much of that as he would want to. And we just praise the Lord for this young man putting Scripture to memory. And I hope that encourages each one of us. We need to remember Scripture, don't we? And learn it and remember it and keep it within our heart, because that guides us. So thank you, Corbin, as you share. Okay. We appreciate that.
I'm going to be reciting from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. For that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him."
Good job, buddy. Isn't that excellent? I'm telling you, Corbin, I need to get with him and start remembering scripture like that. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Corbin goes to Blue Ridge Christian School in Bridgewater, and that's part of what they do. They remember scripture there, and that was something that he was working on. And thank you so much, Corbin, for sharing that with us this morning. You have a gift. It reminded me of Olin Landis. Olin Landis had he's a brethren minister. He's long gone to be with Jesus now, but he had a gift of remembering scripture, and he would recite it in several different versions. It was just amazing. It's a God-given gift, I know it, and Corbin, I think you got it too, so praise God for that. We rejoice in that. Blesses our heart here this morning. Okay, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. Prayer. Share the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You. Lord, we thank You this morning that we can rejoice that we have received Your Son, Your only Son, here into this world. Lord, we can rejoice because He has come to us. Lord, He has found us in our sad state. And Lord, He has lifted us up and, Lord, taken away our sadness and give us joy. He's given us hope. He's given us peace. And yes, Lord, He has given us Your love. Father, thank You so much for the love that we receive through Your Son, Jesus. At Christmas, Lord, we celebrate and thank You for that love which was given to us. Lord, we praise You this morning in song and in prayer for the love that we have received through Your Son, Your only Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, He not was only just born to lay in a manger, but Lord, we know that He was born to die upon a cross. Lord, we thank You for the gift that He has given for each one of us, that He has laid down His life that we might have life. And to many as would believe in Him, to them gave He the power to be the children, the sons and daughters of God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for that salvation which we have received because, Lord, Your Son Jesus has come to us. Lord, we praise Him this day. Lord, I pray tomorrow as we gather with our families, Lord, again, our hearts will just be moved to remember that, Lord, Christmas is about You. It's about Your Son, Jesus, and about the precious gift that He brings to each one of us, that sweet gift of salvation and love. Father, we praise Your Son here this morning. We worship Him. We sing our praise to Him. We honor Him, the Christ child, our Savior, our friend, Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name. Thank You, Lord, for Jesus. Thank You for Him. We praise His name here together. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, just light it back up. Try it again. It's always a blessing at Christmas to have the choirs sing with us. And this morning we got two choirs singing for us, and it is the children's choir, the adult choir. We're kind of going to change the program just a little bit. Gene had requested that we do the adult choir first, and so I'm going to ask the adult choir to come forward now and to bless us in song here this morning. Adult choir, and then following that, we'll have the children's choir.
Isaac for the guitar, and Olivia for the bongos, and Carson for the claves. And we're starting off with Mary's Boy Child, which is a calypso. Some of you older people might remember Harry Belafonte, if your hair is my color, you remember. And that's the man who wrote the song.
Now, kids, go ahead and get your gifts ready, because once we get to our second song, y'all please come forward with your gifts to put on the altar. If you don't have a gift, still, kids, please come up, and will step in behind the adult choir as they do their last song, okay? Would have shared with baby Jesus as they found him laying in the manger at Christmas morning. Come on. Come on up, kids.
Thank you, adult choir. Thank you, Gene, so much for leading that choir. And as always, whipping us into shape. And we really appreciate that, Gene. And now we get to hear from our children's choir. So they've come to bless us in song, and we'll turn it over to them now. Thank you. let's give them another round of applause. Don't they deserve it? And the adult choir, too. Thank you so much, kids. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't it make you feel like a kid again when you see all those children up here singing? Kind of makes you feel like a kid again. I was reminded while they were singing that we went last Sunday to Carroll, and one of the places we stopped was Charlotte Grimm, her room. And so, we skipped that. And so, one of the things, though, before we left, that she shared with us was a recital that she shared here at Moscow when she was a kid. And I don't remember how many years she said that was ago, but that she was 5 years old. So that would be 85 years ago. She shared that recital. I wish I would have recorded it on my phone and could play it back to you, but she said it word for word, reminded me of Corbin reciting that that poem back to us. And it was just beautiful. And the fact that she still remembered that 85 years later, word for word, just tells you that these moments stick, don't they? And they do for the kids. They remember these moments. And we just praise the Lord for those good memories that are being made and for the blessing that we receive as being a part of this service today. Okay, I'm going to share with you some scripture here. And we're on our last Sunday of Advent. And I want you to turn your Bible to John 3, 16 and 17. And kids, there'll be no youth Sunday school today or children's church. That'll happen next Sunday. But I'll keep it brief. But I want you to hear this scripture this morning, all of you. Because we're talking about Christmas love. We lit the candle that reminds us and allows us to remember God's love. And I could think of no better verse in the Bible than John 3:16 that reminds us of the love of God. And let me say this morning that John 3:16 is a Christmas scripture. Many of us don't think of it that way or remember it that way, but John 3:16 is a Christmas scripture, just as much as Isaiah 9 and some of the other portions, Isaiah 11, that we commonly go to. This is, I think, the pinnacle of scripture that is given at Christmas, because it reminds us that God has come to share with us His love. Now let's look at this scripture together. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Isn't that a Christmas verse, if you've ever heard one? Notice there, it's talking about Jesus coming. "For God so loved the world that He gave us," He sent us, His only Son. You know, I was listening to the TV as I was working around the house this week, and I heard, I don't know if it was a commercial or if it was someone on a program, but the statement that was made, it kind of it made me think a little bit. It kind of made me just kind of process what was said. It said something like this. The person said, "I would not be able to celebrate the holidays if it were not for my family." And I thought, well, I can understand the sentiment of that, but there's a real problem in that statement, that I cannot celebrate the holidays if it were not for my family. First thing I noticed was they said holidays rather than Christmas. And how much of that is happening today? Just a small thing, isn't it, that people are doing to kind of undermine that Christmas is about Christ, that this holiday is the celebration of Jesus and the celebration of God's love. And it's just a little simple way to undermine that, isn't it? They do this in, I think they call it religious inclusivity. Inclusiveness. I can't think of any other celebration or religious holiday in which we do that. Can you think of any other religious, even another faith, that things they celebrate that they're trying to actually change what the celebration is about? Boy, I tell you, the Christian faith is under attack, isn't it? and they want to attack it at every moment, every way, every angle to try to remove Christ from Christmas, to make the celebration of something else, something less. But Christmas, make no mistake, it is the celebration of Christ. It is the celebration of God's love for each one of us. That's what the scripture says right here. For God so loved the world that He sent us His only begotten Son. Christmas is the celebration of Christ. And you cannot celebrate Christmas without celebrating Christ. Amen? You cannot celebrate Christmas without celebrating Christ. And yet so many today are trying to do that. I heard a pastor friend of mine telling me a story. He was in line at a box store. And as they were going out, the person was saying, "Happy holidays, happy holidays, happy holidays" to the people. And when my pastor friend got to the point in line where he was next, he said, "No, no, no, there's no happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas." And I think the fellow was kind of caught off guard by that. And as he left, he said to this particular cashier, "Merry Christmas." And the fellow said in reply, "To you as well." And so we can change things, can't we? We just have to be bold enough to say, "Merry Christmas." I've made a point to tell people, "Merry Christmas" this Advent. Making sure people hear that and know that Christmas is the celebration of Jesus. And we're not going to take or diminish that in any way. The next thing I heard, though, in the statement, I think that was more pointed, was that the person could only celebrate Christmas as long as they had family. And I thought, wow, you're really missing out on what Christmas is about. Now, I understand the sentiment. And we all love family at Christmas, don't we? One of the beautiful things is getting together with family. We did that yesterday at my aunt's house, and it was just so great to be together and to see each other and to enjoy each other's conversation and good food. And they had those little cookies there with the Hershey Kisses on them. I really love those too. It was just good to be together. It was good to celebrate Christmas together. We all enjoy that. But listen, Christmas isn't contingent on family. The celebration of Christmas isn't contingent on lights or presents or family or even good food. We can celebrate Christmas without any of those things. There are people this Christmas that will be alone. But yet they too can celebrate Christmas with the same joy and the same happiness within them that each of us can. Because Christmas is a celebration of Christ. And we can do that without family. We can do that alone. We can do that no matter where we're at. We can do that. You know, I think in recent history there's just been this kind of a retelling of the story of what we celebrate at Christmas. Even you think back to the Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, 1843. You know, I didn't realize this, but in this the Christmas story there, of course you all remember it, Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by the three ghosts of Christmas, past, present, and future. But you know, Charles Dickens never mentions anything about Christ. Nothing. The whole story, there's no mention. It's about being good, being nice, respecting, loving others, all really wonderful things. But is that the celebration of Christmas? Is Christmas really about just being nice and good cheer? Dr. Seuss did something similar. And I respect Dr. Seuss. He's got a lot of good things. But The Grinch, that's another one, isn't it? It's kind of a story of good cheer, being nice, letting your heart grow. Seemed like the closest one, if you think about people that would fit in this category of retelling the story, would be I think of what's the little guy, Charlie Brown. Yeah, because he recites Luke chapter 2. at least he gets to the heart of what Christmas truly is about. And Christmas, make no doubt, it is the celebration of Christ. And that's what we celebrate today. That's what John points us to here in the Scripture. God's love has been sent to each one of us through the perfect gift of His Son, Jesus. We celebrate God's love at Christmas. Without God's love, there would be no Christmas. Notice here, for God so loved the world that He gave. You take out the first portion of the Scripture and you don't get Christmas. But because God loved, He gave, didn't He? He gave. And we celebrate Christmas because God's love has come to each one of us. Christmas is the result, really. It's the product of God's love for each one of you. God so loved the world. Just take out the word world and put your name there. For God so loved you that He sent His only begotten Son into the world today. God so loved. God loved us and He sent His Son, that most precious gift to earth. I'm kind of intrigued how it says here, His only begotten Son. You ever notice that? How that kind of stands out. Several other places it refers to Him as only begotten Son. I think it's for us to remember just how precious this gift is. Jesus is like none other, isn't it? He's one of a kind. He is the only begotten Son of God. And that means that God wants us to worship Him, to come and adore Him. To adore Him, to adore Christ, to worship, to pray to Him, to serve Him, to tell others about this special child, God's only Son, Jesus. Acts chapter 4 says, there is salvation in no one else. There's no one else. You take away Jesus, and we are a hopeless people. But we have received hope, haven't we? Because we have received Jesus. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Through Christ and Christ alone do we find and receive salvation, because God so loved that He sent us His Son, that most precious gift, that we might have salvation. See, Christ came with a purpose, didn't He? He came with a purpose. We've said in past years, I think, from the cradle to the cross, Jesus came with a purpose. He wasn't going to lay in that manger forever, was He? He was going to grow up. He was going to grow up to be a man. And that man was going to walk the earth and proclaim God's good news for 3 years. And then on that fateful day, when God said it's time, He marched into Jerusalem, didn't He? And a few days later, they would be nailing Him to a cross. He was willing to die for each one of us. Jesus came to die. None of us can say that. We were born to live, weren't we? You think your parents, when they conceived you and had you into this world, they said, we had this child to die. No. But that's why Jesus came. Jesus came with a purpose to live, but to die for each one of us. Christ so loved you that He gave His life for you. That's what Christmas is about. It's the celebration of God's love through Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the love of God which we have received through Your Son, Jesus. Lord, we've celebrated that here this morning. We praise that. We'll be praising His name here this evening as well. Lord, we just thank You for the wonderful gifts that we have been given because of Your Son. We praise His name here together. And Lord, we celebrate. Lord, we celebrate this special Christmas season as it should be celebrated through the celebration of Your Son, Jesus. We honor Him. We worship Him. We praise His name here this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn. One of my favorites, page 137, What Child Is This? Let us stand together and just shout out our, sing out our praise to the Lord. What Child Is This? Page 137. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this blessed Christmas, for this Advent season, Lord, where we've looked to your message of hope and love and peace. Lord, we thank you for these messages that have been sown into our hearts and our minds. Lord, what would we do without your hope? What would we do without your peace and your joy and your love within our life? Lord, we don't have to endure this life without those things, but we have received those blessed things into our life because, Lord, we have received your Son, Jesus. And we glorify him in his name here this morning. We thank you for his life. We pray tomorrow that as we gather with our families, Lord, that we will have a blessed moment, Lord, cherishing those moments with family and friends. But Lord, that we most of all, that we rejoice in your Son, Jesus. And that we truly celebrate him. Father, we praise his name, the name of Jesus. Bless us, I pray, in and through that name this Christmas. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things together. Amen. Amen. Just a reminder that women, there's some succulent plants out in the narthex that you can grab. Also, the children, be sure to go and grab that. We want to thank Kathy Teeter, Clark Teeter, for making that donation on both those things. So, and Huffman's Trailer, we really appreciate all that they're donating here this morning. So praise the Lord for that.
And God, while we're still standing here, please, let's give the kids another round of applause. Awesome job, guys.
Good job.
Merry Christmas.
God bless you.
Love you.
We are dismissed. God bless you.